their team managers, maybe the National Sports Council even, or the Ghana Football Association can do. Are there things that they can do to ensure that we get that excitement, that passion, that zeal back into our local Premier League? A man who knows a lot about football management, former chief executive of Kumasi Asante Kotoko, joins me, Herbert Mensah. Mr. Mensah, good morning.
Morning, Kojo. How are you?
Very well and excited at yesterday's win. How are you doing this morning?
Does that mean you're a Kotoko supporter?
I've always been.
Oh, that's why you've been teasing the hearts of old guys. I was seeing messages on Facebook asking you to spare them a little bit.
It was fun yesterday, but the bigger picture was that there was a lot of excitement and passion at the game. And this morning we're trying to find out what it would take to bring back that excitement and passion into our local league. You've been there, seen it done, that. What would it take?
Well, I think, Kojo, it really involves the restructuring of the way that we look at football. I think that if you look at a product, then you've got to look and understand that it has a brand, it has power, it has a potential latent following of, you know, tens of millions. And therefore, you then have to see perceptually how people look at it. And I think that the perceptions of the local league perhaps are not what it is that they should be. Hearts and Kotoko, obviously, you're always going to fill a stadium, but you really need to get it back as we had it in the, you know, a few years ago, where we look to rebrand, remarket, redefine, and work closely with corporate Ghana and other parties to bring back the excitement and make it more popular than watching the English Premier League.
Some believe that all you need is to own a team that finds its way into the Premiership, and once you have a game, people will show up at the stadium. Does it work that way?
It doesn't work that way, Kojo. Unfortunately, the people think it works that way, which is why the stadiums are empty here. I was on the BBC, I think, about a couple of years ago, and they actually called me because they were talking about the fact that stadiums in Africa generally were empty, and they'd done research to see that in our time, we'd managed to fill not only our stadiums, but generate excitement through most of the stadiums across the country. And we went into and broke it down from when we started and how empty they were, what it is that we did in terms of the brand. The brand in our name was Kotoko. But because we needed to build a support base around the country, we then looked at developing that and extending that everywhere that we went, so that in the partnerships that we developed, for example, we had an excellent partnership with Joy FM. We had an excellent partnership with other areas of the media. At the same time, we were able to take that, to hype it, to develop it, whilst at the same time giving a story and a picture that the average Ghanaian thought was really believable and interesting, whilst playing the kind of quality product on the field that made corporate Ghana want to get involved on one side and made the average Ghanaian say, look, if I've only got 10,000 old Ghana CDs, I don't know how much that does, 10 CDs or 5 or 1 CD in today's language, what do we spend it on? Do we spend it on going to a bar? Do we spend it on, what is our choice of entertainment? And it was for us to convince people that the best way of entertaining yourself would be to come to a football match, be it in Takoradi, Cape Coast, in Tamale, or wherever it may be.
So these games need to be properly branded and marketed to attract the passion and the excitement of followers. But what do you make of those who make the argument that, well, the real problem is that a lot of the players are whack these days, games are poor these days, and therefore no amount of marketing can really bring anybody to the stadium, because when you compare to the Premiership from England and all, the quality is better and all, and so people who are looking for that same kind of entertainment might just want to get a television dish and just watch that and get entertained, then go watch some poor game at some stadium where there are no seats even.
Yeah, I think that obviously we cannot compare ourselves to the English Premier League in terms of quality of product, but not only on the field. I mean, I think that we can learn as well. I mean, this is what we try to bring in terms of looking at the way that soccer is looked at globally and how we can adapt it. So, for example, if we talk about the English Premier League, in 1999 and 2000, we had already started live matches on the internet, and we were doing that for the Kotoko brand. So you generate interest from a lot of different places. The quality is important, but you have to look at a story. And I think that if the Ghana Football League itself was being better managed, what you then have is much larger inflows of cash. And I think that most of the Premier League sides right now, and then First Division sides, and then it trickles down into the system, should, if you take what it is we started in 1999, should be receiving between $250,000, $300,000, $400,000 per team each. then it is that you can bring in regulations that says you must have a proper youth development scheme. You then have other things that come in that shows that you are part of the environment, the society, in terms of development through schools, etc. We had a slightly different system back in the old day, which certainly involved changing training facilities, building training pitches, developing youth systems, but not a la Feyenoord or Red Bull, but actually getting into the schools and making sure that we had talent coming from the schools, and people like Parkwesi, the coach, were school teachers who Middendorp would come and then train to come. So it's a development and it's a program that forms part of the society. So if you go away from the Kotoko Training Park, which was being rebuilt, you could then go to schools and see what was being done. Relationships with people like Corners Babies and the rest, and the intense rivalry with teams like King Faisal, and then before you even come to Hearts of Oak and the rest, meant that there was genuine excitement. And if you then had the following of people on that, you are then looking at the product beyond the Sunday match. And I think that what has been happening, even despite the fact that the FA has failed in terms of not getting sponsorship and raising money consistently and at the right level, you then have administrators themselves who don't actually understand how to market their matches and their games, their teams, their personas, and the image in terms of the environment and the society in which they live. And as a result of that, what then happens is that very few people end up coming to the stadium. So it is a much, much bigger problem. It's a much, much bigger problem which needs to be managed and looked at in a slightly different way.
If I understand what you're saying, you are talking about the fact that we need a lot of investment at the team level. Now, in recent years, the Premier League in Ghana has received unprecedented amount of sponsorship. I don't know if it necessarily means they are releasing the cash according to a cash flow payment plans that they have agreed. But at least we're told of substantial monies coming in and going to the teams. Yet, at the team level, there's very little investment. Sometimes when you find out what players earn and some of the training kits that players have and don't even have, you wonder what kind of investment takes place at a team level. You've been chairman of Asante Kotoko for years, in which we saw a lot of investment into the team itself, even apart from the marketing, but investment into the player quality, you know, kits and tools to work with, buses and all of that, salaries and all of that. What sort of mindset does it take to create that investment in the team and not just think about the fact that I have a team who play, get proceeds, I'll get out of it?
Well, I think you need to, A, look in the long term. But I don't think, Kojo, that the reality of what has been raised in terms of sponsorship for Ghana football has bears a true reality in terms of what it should be. That's why I said from what we started in 1999 and what the teams were eventually receiving, I don't think that the TV rights deals were negotiated properly. I don't think they were equitable. I don't think that the levels of sponsorship raised were really equitable in terms of what it is the team should have been getting, if you look exponentially from where it is that we started. And I think that in itself is part of the problem. I think that most of the teams, if you take that an average team may cost anything of $200,000, $300,000 to run per year, depending on whether they're playing locally, whether they're going to Africa, then you look at the returns that they're receiving through the turnstiles, add the sponsorship amount in terms of what is raised, and then you see there's a gap. Now, how do the teams fill the gap? They fill the gap by either selling players, and you see the very few Ghanaian players are going abroad these days. When they can't get them abroad, then you then have players being sold who are 28, who are being touted at 16 years old. You have things that the real world has caught up with and says, actually, maybe we're not interested in Ghanaian players, even though they reached the quarterfinal of the World Cup. Let us go for other players because maybe there's greater integrity in terms of the data and the statistics of what it is they're about. Then you enter into another area where the supporters see, because the supporters in Ghana are so well educated. They're better educated than people like me. They go to training, they see what's going on, they go to the houses of the footballers. So when you start getting to the business end of the season, round about this time, the teams that are short in terms of their cash flow must now start selling matches. So they will concede matches to other teams in exchange for some form of a reward. The supporters are smart. They see it. So as a result of it, you start getting a bad quality in terms of the quality of the games. and you don't get the true competitive spirit and competitive edge that needs to be there. So the problems really start at the top. If you want to dictate to the football administrators, then you need to get it right. And the people at the top in the FA need to get it right in terms of quantum, in terms of the amount, in terms of the direction. Then they can better direct club chairmen in terms of how they run their games, how they market their games, how they reposition themselves.
Can we compete with the European leagues that seem to be taking over the interest of the football-loving Ghanaians?
I think we can compete not in terms of quality, but in terms of interest, Kojo, because we did it. I mean, there were a few years ago where, as you know, the rivalry around the country was such that there were flags everywhere. I remember coming to Joy FM with my brother Harry and playing a one-on-one match in front of your radio station, where we put up little goalposts to see who would score. You come up with gimmicks, you come up with areas of controversy, you market yourself domestically, and you look at your plan so that you look at your individual business plans and make sure that they fit into whatever medium-term business plan the FA has. I've never seen one. But the medium-term business plan that the FA has, and take the development of the game up to another level. We have new stadia. What else do we have? How do we develop things at different levels? So that the two can eventually work hand in hand, where it is that the genuine interest is brought. Yesterday, for example, Hearts and Kotoko were playing, which you know is probably the biggest event in Ghana every year. And at the same time, we had Manchester City against Chelsea in an extraordinary match. And as I walked around, I had meetings and I went around, everybody was watching the Hearts Kotoko match. So clearly there is interest in our country for domestic football, and you have to see how you can expand it away from just the Hearts and Kotoko.
Some suggest that perhaps if we maybe support the FA with a stronger marketing department, that would be a lot more creative, in terms of ideas and strategies through the FA. And then the FA can, you know, assist some of the teams to create all of these gimmicks around their various games to whip up some more interest, and then we can get some more passion in it. We could go a long way. I don't know what you make of that.
I don't know. You know, the FA is run by Kwesi. Kwesi is a very smart guy. He's no fool. I have quite a bit of respect for Kwesi. And I think that he's got people around him who understand football. They've been in football a long time at different levels and different ways. And I think it's time that Kwesi just needs to take what he has and transform it into a different kind of leadership. And I think with that leadership, then it is that there is enough interest in the country. It may be people who are not part of the internal football mafia. It may be people who maybe even have a difference of opinion. But people who can work with and then tap into the knowledge, because behind the scenes, there are people like Nana Brew Butler who have been involved in football for a long time. Commercially, they're very astute. So you have to find a way of bridging the individual talent that is in the FA to a new, younger group of people who are outside of the FA, who have contributions to make. And then from there, really try and bring about change. Sometimes people have been in positions too long. And I think in the FA, if you go through the committees, there are people who have been there for simply too long. And I think that as a result of that, what happens is that you kind of get stale in terms of new ideas, in terms of creativity, in terms of greater accountability. And I think in the part of the world that we come from, the buck really stops at the top. I think Kwesi needs to look, understand that, yes, he does have some talent. Yes, there are leadership issues. He needs to redirection, reposition. And I think that a lot of things then will start changing.
Again, some argue that through the FA, you can begin to influence the quality of administration or management at the team level. Because, I mean, now in Ghana, if I have money and I can set up a team and get it to rise up the ranks, that's it. I may not necessarily be very, you know, astute at marketing and managing the team and all. And that perhaps if you work through the FA, or if we work through the FA and get the FA to assist the various teams in terms of their administration and management, it would improve the quality of management and investment that we're getting at the team level. Does that make sense?
It does make some sense, Kojo. I think that you're right in saying that really all roads start and stop at the FA in that regard. And I think there is, you know, a need for there to be greater cooperation starting at that level of the FA and looking down. And it comes back down to leadership, where people must have confidence that they can work within that structure. The things that they do are for genuine change and for forward momentum and for forward movement. And I think people's love for the game is such that if really it's done correctly, you can pull in a lot of resources. I mean, I have so much confidence in the Ghanaian people. We have got smart people here whose love for football transcends ethnicity, politics, and everything else. And that needs to be tapped. And it can really only be tapped if the FA really wants to embrace that over and beyond the boundaries of how it currently operates.
Do you see that day coming where that interest will be renewed, perhaps even heightened in our local leagues, where at least with our four key stadia and a few others, we will see families troop to the stadiums, ticketing improved, security better, of the marketing properly done, where we can now begin to count our local league as one of the pillars that bring weekend excitement to our people?
I think it will do. I think things move in season, in seasonally. So we go through situations of ups and downs, as we saw in our period, and I'm not taking credit for anything, but certainly in our period, you'll notice that we went from empty stadiums to packed stadiums, where the national agenda became football at every level. And whether it was Brekum Arsenals or Real Tamale United, everybody benefited from the surge of enthusiasm that went through the system. I think at a time now that there is no sponsorship, at a time now where the Football League does not have much interest, at a time now where the ultimate judgment is the fact that the Ghanaian teams can no longer qualify for the group stages or semi-final of the Champions League, or even the Confederation Cup at present, is a serious indictment on where our football is going. The days where it is that teams reach the semi-finals and finals of the continental level, and I think our disaster, the recent local Black Stars level, should send worrying signs. And I think that the local league needs to improve, as it must now go beyond the Premier League to the First Division, Second Division, down to the Colts and the schools level. And then it is that you actually see the talent coming through the system. I mean, one of the gimmicks that we had in the early days is by getting those school children who would then play before the big Kotoko matches, and getting the school children who would come in as part of our Kids for the Future, who played long after I left. There were still kids from that era coming through, where people, and as I said, the supporters are so intelligent, Kojo. I mean, you may be an administrator and think you know football, but the Ghanaian supporter knows more than you do. So, because he takes his time and his hard-earned money to go and watch matches, to go to watch training, to go to people's houses, to get a feel of what is going on. And if he believes, then he comes to the stadium. He'll take his hard-earned money, stand in the queue for hours, and come to the stadium to watch matches. And we need to get back to those days. Obviously, from a safety perspective, we don't want to get back to, as it happened in our days, where they would climb the floodlights because the stadium was so full. But you need to get a sense that really it's something special. And I used to boast to my friends in South Africa, when I would sit with Danny Jordan or Kaiser Mutang, Ivan Khoza, in South Africa, and say, look, you guys have all the technology, the infrastructure, best stadium, best TV work, close-up with cameras. But in Ghana, we have full stadium, something you don't have. So it's a bit ironic now. They call me and say, oh, we have the Ghana football on our DSTV, and your stadiums are even more empty than ours. You see, so, you know, we need to get back to that time where at least the rumble in the jungle exists, where it is that we know that we are different from everybody else, and that we can really get back to the levels where I look at the president of TP Mazembe. He's doing a fantastic job. He's taken a completely different approach, a very professional approach to the development of soccer in Congo, and I have so much respect for him. I look at the president of ASEC, who's also a friend, and I've seen what they've consistently done.
And they're running these clubs like businesses.
So absolutely, Kojo. You hit it on the head. Football is big business, and you must move away from sentiment. You can keep your traditional values, which is very important. A team without spirit, a team without traditional values, is no team. So you can never do away with it.
So for the average team, you know, owner or the team manager in Ghana, who's thinking, where do I find money to invest in my team? What would you tell him?
You need to take a step back and he needs to look at how it is that the structure of his team, even the structure of the game goes. I mean, if we go back years after I'd been removed from Kotoko and I set up the SOS Network Sports consultancy, and I was approached by Ernest Thompson and Atua Hoy to help the restructuring of Hearts. And there are members of the board of SOS who are diehard Hearts of Oak people, including my attorney, Philip Addison, etc. And we took on that process. It was interesting to see that even though our mandate was not to get involved in the administration of the field, but we were able to raise sponsorship for them during that year. Not massive, but significant. And that was done again by how it is that we repositioned them in terms of the eyes of corporate Ghana. And you can say, well, that was hard, but the fact is they weren't getting it before. So I think that really people, it's a challenge when you're with smaller clubs. I saw it when I went to assist at King Faisal. But we were able to increase the gate revenues of people coming through the gates by, I forget the figure, 60 or 80%. We're able to attach associated sponsorships with kit sponsorship deals and other related matters and get Puma and the rest involved in a team that they'd never heard of. In the same way as when we went to Kotoko, we got Admiral and then we got other people involved in that at the same time. So you need to look at it as a business. Take the passion out of it. Leave the passion with the supporters. The supporters are the ones who have the real passion, you know. And you've got to then put your business hat on and say, how can you reposition yourself from a business perspective?
Interesting thoughts the morning after. Grateful to you, as always, Herbert. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Koja. I'll continue watching for the comments that you're making on Facebook.
That's Herbert Mensah, former chairman of Kumasi Asante Kotoko, joining us with some thoughts about what it would take to bring back the passion, the